Yeah, John 15, we'll be going through these I am statements of Jesus, and this morning we're hitting a statement that kind of hits a lot of levels in our life because it's about growth. Growth as you stay still, actually, as you stay put. And, you know, I think we love to talk about growth, we work on growth. Some of you may be frustrated with the growth that is lacking in your life. And we all have these areas of in our life that we want to grow in. And growth is moving from where you are to where you want to be. And here in John 15, growth is not necessarily about moving from point A to point B, but instead, the growth happens by staying put, by abiding, by dwelling. And in that dwelling, in that abiding, there's opportunity to grow. So if I were to ask you a question right now, and I asked you to kind of blurt out the first thing that popped into your head, I wonder what you would say if I asked you, what is one area, and you guys are like, one area, what is one area that you want to grow in? I'm assuming that most of you, if you're awake, it came to you really quick. Like real fast, into your mind. I think that there's a lot of roadblocks to growth. But I think one of the major reasons we don't grow is because a lot of our life actually isn't about growth. We're actually looking not necessarily for growth in our life, but we're looking for validation or justification in our life. Think about your life. Think about your marriage, your parenting, your work, your relationships, church, school, sports, your family. A lot of it is about you trying to justify or validate your existence to someone else. Why you're important. Why you're valuable. Proving your worth to them or to the world around you. And I think that piece of it is a major distractor from growth in your life in Jesus Christ. Because it makes our life feel more like a ping pong ball. You ever seen like a ping pong ball just bounces all over the place? Trying to get people to validate us or to justify our life. So here, John tells us we can grow not by trying to do those things, but to stay put, to abide, to dwell. And I think, if you're like me, at some level, that's like a big sigh of relief. That I don't actually have to do all of these things to grow. So let me walk you through this passage and let's see how we can grow, have growth in our life by staying put, by dwelling with, by abiding and growing at the same time. So John starts this passage out and he describes, says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. These two roles in this kind of life. First, he starts with Jesus, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, let me remind you, these I am statements have meaning behind them. Since it happened with Moses at the burning bush, and the I am simply means I exist, past, present, and future. And so with Moses, it kind of ended with the I am. With Jesus, he gives us some definition of the I am. So what are some of the I am definitions that Jesus has given that we've kind of walked through? Anybody remember any of them? I mean, you should at least remember last week.
The door.
The door. Yeah, the door, right? Shepherd. The shepherd. Any other ones?
The bread
of life, right? And so Jesus says, I am, I exist, and then gives some definition to it. So when Jesus claims to be the true vine, what he's essentially saying is that I am the vine. Now, what does that mean? What's he referring to? Well, in the Old Testament, the vine often referred to Israel or an actual grapevine. And so when Jesus claims to be the true vine, what he essentially is saying is that Israel was the vine, and it didn't bear fruit. They kept messing up, falling away, kind of like we do. So Jesus says, I have come, and I am now, I am the true vine. I am here to exist, past, present, and future, and to do and be what Israel could not and what you cannot do. And so Israel was supposed to be this vine that was an illustration of them to bear what? Fruit into the world. Well, we know the story of that. So Jesus now comes and he takes the place of their failure, our struggles, and is the true vine. And he brings healing to the places of our death and our disease. The second role here is that God the Father is the vine dresser. Now, what's a vine dresser? What's a gardener? The one who tends to the soil, prunes the plant, helps the vine grow to bear fruit. So you have God the Father providing the cultivation and the maintenance of the vine, who's Jesus. And then if you were to skip down into verse 26, I think, there's a third role that comes onto the scene, which is the Spirit of God that Jesus sends. And then there's a fourth role, which is the branch, which is you and me. So the vine is giving the branches all it needs to thrive and to bear fruit, and the vine dresser is continually caring for us in order that we abide, that we stay put, that we dwell in the vine. Now, verse 2 is a bit rough because it says, if you are a branch and you're not bearing fruit, you'll be pruned in order to bear more fruit. Now, this should not come as a shock to us, because if Jesus is the vine now, and that was representative of Israel and us before, and now, and they could not bear fruit, there's no reason that we should expect that some pruning is going to take place, because we obviously cannot bear fruit on our own. Like, if I pull a branch off of a tree and just hold it, is that branch going to bear fruit? It is not. And so what's interesting here is that in verse 2, is that it also says that every branch that is in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. In other words, there's how many types of branches here? I'm holding the number up. You can,
two.
So there's two types of branches. One claiming to be in the vine, one that bears fruit to which the Father prunes to bear more fruit. And so then there's another that's claiming to be in, that's not bearing any fruit, but likes the Christian stuff, so they do the things, but really they don't bear any fruit. So the Father takes them away off the vine to stop sucking vital nutrients. And there's a lot of other ways we could interpret that and go, and none of them are necessarily wrong. And if you would have come to the pregame this morning, you could have gotten some of that, so you should come. It's like when James chapter 2 says, what good is it, brothers, if you claim to have faith but have no what? Deeds. Same idea here. You claim to have faith, but you bear no fruit. So basically, if you say you're a believer, then you should be bearing fruit. And that fruit is not about you doing a bunch of stuff, but the fruit comes from the vine, the root, and by the gardener who's tending you and taking care of the soil and pruning you. And so actually what happens is, if you really are looking at this, Jesus, the vine, and the gardener, the Father, is doing all of the work so that you bear fruit as the branch. And all you have to do is abide. Takes a little pressure off. And then when we abide in him, look at verse 3, we are, as it says, already clean because of his teaching. So we hear the word, the gospel, the good news of Jesus taught, and then we're made clean because of that gospel truth in order to bear fruit. Then look with me in verse 4. And this verse, verse 4 and 5, hits at a lot of levels, I think, in our life. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide. That means to dwell, to stay put. Jesus and you. He says that I am in you and you are in me. There's a mutuality there. And I'm not sure we totally understand the significance of that statement. Jesus is not telling you to do all the work, but that he is also working in you. So abiding in him and he abides in you. You dwell in him and he dwells in you. You stay put in him and he stays put in you. That thought alone is amazing. It's incredible. What I'm saying to you is that the God of the universe abides in you. The God of the universe abides in you and is okay doing so. That's incredible. You have the vine, who's Jesus, the gardener, who's the Father, the Spirit, who is bearing witness about Jesus in you. In other words, when all your self-talk about yourself and how you can't do anything springs forth, the Spirit bears witness to remind you, the branch, who the vine is, where you're getting your nutrients in life from. He's reminding you who the Father is, who's gently pruning you to bear more fruit. It's almost a little overwhelming. It's also no wonder, it's a wonder why more of us as believers are not bearing more fruit. That's what I was thinking about this week in my life. If the God of the universe is abiding within me, and I am in Him, why don't I bear fruit? Why does it feel like I'm not bearing fruit at times in my life? I had to ask myself that question, and I wondered, if I am abiding and dwelling and staying put in Jesus and He's in me, why does it feel like you ever get a cluster of grapes and there's always that like one little like shriveled like grape and you're like, why is it like that's what it feels like sometimes, like that's how I feel about my life, that I'm that little shriveled up grape in my life. But He's reminding us in this passage, and He's asking us, where are you getting your nutrients in life from? So even though the God of the universe may be abiding in you, you also have responsibility to do what? Abide in Him. And when you don't abide in Him, we get shriveled. We get shriveled. Now, if you can picture in your head the branches of a vine, of a grapevine, where some of the branches have these beautiful big clusters of grapes. You ever get grapes and you're like, those are like, they're crunchy, they're like really good, right? And then other times you get grapes and you're like, I'm gonna eat these because I bought them, but I don't really love them. So picture like this big, huge cluster of grapes, if you will. And then picture some grapes that is a little bit shriveled up, it's dehydrated, and people are walking around. Which grapes do you think people are going to choose? The nice ones, right? Even when you go to the grocery store, you try to find the good grapes. And I thought to myself, why does it feel this way in my life? Why does it seem that the way when many people I talk with, there's either like this picture of like the Christian life where it should be this beautiful cluster of grapes, that's who we should be, but it feels more often than not that I'm like this shriveled up prune in my life. Two reasons. I'm not sure we accurately see the fruit that you're actually bearing. I don't think you actually see it accurately. And I actually don't think that the church does a great job encouraging people of the fruit that they're bearing. I also think that there are a lot of days that I feel like a dried up grape, but I don't want to admit it. But here's what's really awesome. If you stay put, if you abide, if you dwell in Jesus the vine, and the gardener, the Father, comes along and is like, good try, like that was a really nice try with your life, and you know, I'm glad that you tried to do that, but that didn't work because you weren't abiding in me. And He begins to kind of like prune you a little bit, clip here, a little there, a little there, and kind of sees what that does. Pruning, sometimes we think like it hurts. We always see it as like negative, right? But if you were ever to prune your own plants at your own house, do you think that pruning hurts the, you don't think about that. You think about that it's actually going to what? Help it. So we always see the pruning from the Father as negative, but it's actually positive. He prunes. Why? What does it say? To bear what? More fruit. In other words, you're bearing some fruit, but you could bear more fruit. In other words, he's working for your good. And what is he pruning? In my life, I think he's pruning areas in my life where I'm trying to grow on my own. And verse 5 says, if I try to bear fruit on my own, it'll amount to not to anything because I am away from the vine. I'm no longer dwelling. I'm no longer abiding. I have moved from the space where everything I need is in the vine, and I've tried to find it somewhere else. And when I do this, what does it say I can do? Does it say some things? Does it say a few things? Does it say one thing? What does it say? You can do what? Nothing. Nothing. When you're away from the vine. Does anyone know off the top of their head Philippians 4:13? I'll get it started for you. I can what? Do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Well, if I'm a branch, where do I get my strength from? The vine. Jesus. A little later in that Philippians text, it says, and my God will supply how many of your needs? All of your needs according to what? His glorious riches in who? Christ Jesus. Who is what? According to John chapter 15? The vine. The true vine. So if I abide, if I dwell, if I stay put in Jesus, what do I receive? All things. All things, church. Now, if you were to flip back to Philippians right before Paul says he can do all things in Christ, he talks about being content in all circumstances, both good and bad. Now, how do you do that, Paul? How can you be content in difficult, bad situations? Let's be honest, some of us have everything that we need, and we're still not content. Contentment comes from abiding. It comes from dwelling. It comes from staying put in the vine, who is Jesus. Now, if you went up even a little further in Philippians, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. There's like this one chapter in Philippians where it's just like, Paul, come on, bro. Give me a little bit of slack, right? He says, don't be anxious about anything. Anything. That's right. He said anything. Well, how do I do that? Remain in me and I in you. Because that's where you get everything that you need. You see, anxiety, and I'm not a doctor, so this is my definition of anxiety from my own life. And when anxiety stirs up in me, it's typically when something from my past triggers something from my present that could affect my future. Something from my past that triggers my present that will affect my future. Maybe it was hurt, maybe it was trauma, fears, whatever it is. But if I'm called to not be anxious about anything, I can do that because I have everything in the true vine, Jesus, and the Father who's pruning me and the Spirit who is with me. We get anxious because we forget that we have all that we need in Him. Here's how it works in my life. I become independent of Jesus. The source of all that I need, let me say it like this. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do what? Apart from me, you can do what? I'm going to say it again. Apart from me, you can do what? So why do we try? Why do we try? What if we, as Paul says, prayed to Him with all our struggles, right? By prayer and petition, present your requests to God. I think we believe that there's this big gap between the prayer from your mouth and the ears of Jesus. Like there's this great chasm. Like we pray, it goes up to the sky, Gabriel, the angel, grabs it, puts it in the queue for Jesus to get to talk to the Father about. And by the time your prayer is maybe answered, you forget that you even prayed it. But John says abide in me and I in you. In other words, when you pray, it would be like me coming over here and sitting right next to Billy and having a conversation with him. I'm literally like knee to knee to him. Like that awkward thing, like you ever have somebody come sit next to you and like they kind of like their knee touches you or and you're like, yo, easy, right? That's what it's like with Jesus. He's literally sitting next to you. He's touching you. He's right next to you, and you can have a conversation with him. I think in our life, we actually don't believe Jesus is close. And if we don't believe that he is close, then we probably don't believe that he's abiding in us and dwelling with us. And then we begin to think that he's far away and he's untouchable. But he says he's the vine. He says, we're the branches. We are a part of who he actually is. That's why Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. So he's the head, we are the body. If I were to cut your head off, could your body do anything? No. Because apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. It's a very bold statement. Very bold. And so the body can't function without the head, just like the branch can't function without the vine. There has to be mutual abiding, dwelling, staying with somebody. They're close, they're connected. I think the issue is we don't believe it. We don't ask, as James 4 says, that we don't have because we don't ask. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Independent of me, you can do nothing. But with me, dependent on me, abiding in me, it says what? You can bear much fruit. So what does this look like? Well, just pick something in your life that you struggle with. Maybe it's a sin, maybe it's a struggle, something that just kind of consumes you a little bit. Got it? Everybody got that thing in their head? You guys are like, I don't like this. I like this. Where's going? I want you to just fill in the blank, right? I am struggling with, and just fill in that blank, and just hold that thing, okay? Now, have you talked with God about that thing? And I'm not talking about, like, prayers that are like, Jesus, help me with my anxious heart or my patience or whatever it is. But I'm talking about abiding with it in Jesus. Dwelling with, staying put with Jesus until that issue is resolved. Allowing the Father to kind of slowly prune out your fears and your sins and your struggles and your stresses and your anxieties more and more as you abide in him. That word abide actually can take on the meaning of endurance, enduring. In other words, Jesus says, you say I can do all things. That's what Jesus says. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in you, and I have all that I need, and then my response then becomes, I'm going to endure with you until I have seen that you can do all things, and that I have all things that I need for whatever I am going through. That I've worked it out until I'm on the other side, bearing fruit. You see, the issue is not that Jesus does not have all that you need. The issue is we don't believe that he does. The issue is that Jesus doesn't, it's not that he doesn't have all that you need. The issue is that we don't believe that he does. And because we don't believe that he does, we look everywhere else for it. And so we abide and we dwell with all the other stuff other than Jesus. And I know some of you right now are literally trying to create like an argument in your head of how Jesus does not have all that you need and cannot give you everything that you need. Literally, some of you are making excuses why Jesus can't like heal your disease or hasn't yet or hasn't, you know, fixed this problem in your life or propped money on your lap or whatever it is. Some of you are like, well, he hasn't. You have doubts that he can provide for your needs. You have doubts that he can heal your broken soul. You have doubts that he can heal relationships. He can fix your marriage, drop money in your lap, relieve anxiety, give you freedom from your fears, confidence in who you are in him, love for the unlovable. A new opportunity, maybe, to get you out of that stupid job you hate. It's almost like we've come to believe that God wants us to be broke, broken, hurt, stressed, and fearful. And we wear those things like it's a badge of honor that I'm following Jesus and I'm a mess. Well, I follow Jesus and yeah, like life's just a disaster, right? Some of you are sitting here with these thoughts because you're like, well, I've never seen it. And I would say it's because most of us, including me, abide and dwell in all these other things, all these other fixes, other than the one that can give you all things and has all things. We fear things in our life that Jesus has already overcome. If you flip just one chapter over to John 16, the next chapter he says, hey, guess what? In this world, you're going to have what? What is that? Trouble. You already know, great, I'm going to have trouble. How are you going to deal with the trouble? Well, what does he say right after that? But take heart, I have what? Overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In other words, there's nothing in this the world that can come your way that Jesus doesn't know how to deal with. He's overcome it. There's no stress, there's no anxiety, there's no sickness, disease, there's no financial pressures. There's nothing in this world that he does not have an answer for. Because he has all things and wants to give you all things. We just don't want to abide with him. And you, as Paul says, has learned to be content in all circumstances. That's tough, right? And this is the fruit, church. This is the Father pruning away this and that in Paul, as we saw. So whether he was in prison or shipwrecked or preaching the gospel, he was content. It's why it says about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he what? Endured the cross. Well, how do you live this kind of life? You have to abide. You have to dwell. You have to stay with. You have to endure with Jesus and allow the Father to prune you. I think some of you also need to give yourself more grace. You just beat yourself up with self-talk, with your sins, with your struggles. And you need to give yourself more grace. Because Jesus is abiding in you. He's working on you. Some of you also need to not quit so easily with the one who is abiding in you and you in him. Jesus is close, as it says in Acts 17. God's not far away from any of us. Or James 4 says, if you draw near to him, he will what? Draw near to you. The devil doesn't need to beat you up. You do that yourself. You need to give more grace to yourself, some of you. You see, the fruit is the result of the difficult things in life handed to us, and we stay put with Jesus, and we go through it with him, and the Father is clipping and pruning and watering and tending the soil of our heart, and all of a sudden, the thing you thought Jesus could not do in you or through you is done, and it's finished, and it's over, and the work is accomplished through Jesus. So whatever excuse you want to give yourself or you want to give to me about your situation, how Jesus can't or won't or hasn't, well, have you really tried him out? Have you really endured and abided in him? Because apart from him, you can do what? Apart from him, you can do what?
Nothing.
So why do we try? Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then what does it say? What's the next part? Anybody remember? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your paths. The reason that you can trust him is because he is the one that's sustaining you. Because apart from him, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. And so the reason you can trust the Lord is because he's sustaining you. And so when you're honest with God about all the stuff within you, what you're saying to him is, I trust you. The question is, do you trust him? We cannot trust that we have the nutrients to deal with all of life, all that life throws at us. Like, do you think that you, within yourself, have all the things that you need, all the things that you desire to deal with everything that life throws at you? I don't. I definitely do not. I like some little thing happens and it just like sets me on like this roller coaster ride. Why? When Christ is abiding within me. And everything that I need is in him. Here's the thing in the vine. When you're in the vine, you can actually relax. All the stuff that's happened in your life, when you're in the vine, you can relax. You actually don't have to be stressed out about it. Because he supplies all that you need in that moment. You can be you and Jesus can be Jesus in the vine. And you can relax and get out what you need to get out, and he can put in what he needs to put in. But it takes time. You can't be in a rush. You have to sit with him. You have to endure with him. I think so often we want quick answers and responses without abiding and hearing his heart for you and with you. He is the root system to your life. You have to be present. Let me ask you this. When you woke up this morning, did you expect to meet with God today? Or did you just think about all the stuff you got to get done? To be with him, to encounter him, this kind of growth is hard because it's not dependent on you doing something except abiding. You can't rush it. You ever notice when you come here on Sunday morning to meet with God and his people, when you worship, you find your mind wandering? Or when I'm preaching, and some of it's happening right now, that your mind is wandering to the things of the day? What if we just admitted in our life that we want to wander more than we want to abide? And the reason it's really difficult to come on a Sunday morning and to enter into worship is because most of our week has been spent wandering rather than abiding. So we can't enter into worship because our heart's been wandering all week, not abiding. It's hard to listen to a message for 30 minutes because our heart and our mind and our life has been wandering all week and not abiding. It's hard to deal with our issues and our struggles and our sins because we wander rather than abide. But apart from Jesus, you can do what? Nothing. So think about this. You ever have things in your life and you're just like, oh, I'm still struggling with that. I'm still processing that. This sin or that or this, or I'm anxious or that. I got this, you know, I've had a disease for 25 years. Do I think that the Lord can heal it? I absolutely can. I believe that he can. There's no doubt in my mind. But I've wondered why he hasn't. And I ask, Lord, it'd be really like convenient and great if you just got to take that away. For 25 years, I've prayed that. Hasn't happened. Didn't know why. And my niece gets diagnosed with Crohn's. And you go, oh, maybe that's why. She's 14 years old. I texted her the other day. She's kind of discouraged. I said, hey, I've had this disease for 25 years, And I just finished a half marathon on Sunday. And I said, you can like let it just crush your life, or you can allow the Lord to work in it. So as I abide in Jesus, can he heal my disease? Sure, he can. But he can also use it. And I think that's what he's doing right now. So I have to endure through all this stuff to see fruit in my life. And so we have to abide for Jesus to be with you. Don't wander away too quick. Sit with it. And why do we wander? When the promise is, if we abide in him and he in us, we'll bear much fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? The question is, who's the fruit for? We often think that the fruit is for us. I don't know if you know this, but most branches don't eat their own fruit. Sound weird? Yeah, that was a joke. You guys are like, whew. The fruit is for who? Other people. So when Jesus says, you're going to bear more fruit, if he's the vine, Father's the gardener, the fruit's for other people. It's not for you. You just get to avoid the abiding in Jesus, and he's with you, and it produces this sweet, this tasty, beautiful fruit, the good news of the gospel about the vine who's Jesus, because apart from him, you can do nothing. Galatians 5 tells us the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we often pray for those things. But if the Spirit has them and Jesus has shown them to us, then the fruit of our life is from Jesus to others. In other words, he gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He gives those things to us as we abide and dwell with him in all of the stuff going on in our life. I said this earlier, some of you need more grace, more space to let Jesus give you those things in whatever you're walking through in your life. Stop beating yourself up when he's giving you the fruits of the Spirit. He's giving you the patience. He's giving you the kindness. He's giving you the forgiveness. He's giving you the self-control. He's giving you those things. He's giving you all that you need. You may say, I need more patience with this person. He's given you all the patience in the world for you to deal with your stuff with him, so that you may give that to someone else. Well, I don't have a lot of joy in my life. Well, he has given you all the joy that was set before him when he endured the cross, so that you can have joy even in your worst circumstances, and that fruit goes to somebody else who's in a tough spot. Well, that person was such a jerk to me. Well, he's given you all the kindness in the world to love them and to give them that. You look at the fruit of your life. Is it the fruits of the Spirit? If not, you've got to stop wandering and start abiding in Jesus. Your position with Jesus is in his presence. That's your position. And in your position, the presence of Jesus with Jesus, he will produce fruit within you for other people. Now, the beauty of this is this. As I abide in Jesus and I bear a little bit of fruit. Let's just say I bear some patience, okay? And Billy bears some kindness. And Della bears self-control. And Miranda, I'm not going to do you. and all of a sudden, this church becomes a garden of fruit that is beautiful and tasty and amazing to the world around us, that they go, I would like some of that. And you can go, well, I only have this fruit because of the vine, who is Jesus. Because if it were up to me, I'd rather be impatient, angry, frustrated, not kind, and, you know, giving everybody the bird that cuts me off, right? But if you abide in him and you don't wander away, he will give you all that you need, because apart from him, you can do what? Nothing. That's like the 100th time I've said that, and you guys still are not responding. You can do nothing. You can do nothing. So stop trying. If you ever feel like your life is just spinning in a certain area, guess what you're probably doing? You're probably wandering away from Jesus, when you should be abiding. And in the abiding, he will give you all that you need, and he will meet all of the things that you have need for in your life. Let me close with this. There's a story about a couple who had a pastor over for dinner one time, and had a great time and wonderful dinner, and pastor left, and they were cleaning up, and the wife was like, I can't find the one silver spoon. I don't know where it went. So in her head, she assumes that the poor, broke pastor stole the silver spoon. And she just couldn't, like, deal with it. She was just like, what? That, I can't believe, like, he took this. And she conjured up this whole story about how this pastor stole a spoon. She never asked him. And about a year later, they have the pastor over again for dinner. And they're eating dinner. And, you know, she's, like, watching his hand movements as he's touching the silverware and things. And she just couldn't help herself. And they're cleaning up. And she goes, hey, we had you over a year ago. Like, did you take one of our spoons? And the pastor goes, no, I put it in your Bible. Church, we spend a lot of our days wandering and not abiding. Abide in Jesus. He'll give you all that you need for whatever you're going through, so that you can bear much fruit. So that as we bear fruit, it becomes a beautiful garden that people want to eat from. Who's Jesus Christ? As we kind of close, as Matt comes up, I'd love for you to just take a minute and just to think through this. Apart from him, you can do what? Come on, just everybody, one time this whole sermon. Apart from him, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So stop trying and just start abiding. So as Matt's just going to play for a minute, I just would encourage you just to spend a minute before we close. What's that one thing that popped into your head earlier? Or maybe you've been wandering, and you need to start abiding. Just take a minute and spend time with the Lord, because he has everything that you need for that. You may have to endure for a while. For me, it's been 20-something years. I'm still hoping, still holding hope. So what is it? Just take a minute, talk to the Lord, abide with him. Take the time now, right now.